Hello and welcome to episode 65 of Motherhood in Hollywood. Hi guys, it's Heather Brooker. I've missed you. How was your week? This week, my guest is Erin Ziering. She is a wife, a mother, and a blogger at athomewiththeziering.com. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and her work on her blog and the myriad of other things that she has going on in her life. But before we get into that, I want to tell you guys a little bit about Up4 Probiotics. Up4 Probiotics has been making probiotics and only probiotics since 1979. If you're looking for a way to increase and strengthen your gut health and your strengthen your immune system, Up4 Probiotics is the way to go. They're available in your local Target store. They come in a variety of formulas from infants all the way up to senior citizens. I personally use the women's formula, and Channing has tried the kids' cubes and the children's formula. So if probiotics are something you're interested in, go to motherhoodinhollywood.com, click on the Up4 Probiotics image. That will take you right to their site where you can learn more about which probiotic is right for you. Up4 Probiotics has been creating a healthier inside since 1979. I also want to tell you guys about the brand new Lantino Bluetooth Smart Pump. Okay, if you're a pregnant mom, if you've got a little one at home and you're looking for a way to make your breastfeeding life easier, this is what you need to do. You need to go to motherhoodinhollywood.com, click on the Lantino image. That will take you right to the Lantino website where you can find out more about the Bluetooth Smart Pump. Here's how it works. It pairs with the Lantino Baby app to help you track pumping and automatically record the date, time, and duration of each pumping session. The Smart Pump is also customizable for comfort and can help moms get the most out of every pumping session because it has 3 pumping styles and 8 adjustable suction levels and is easily adjusted with the touch of a button. Finally, there's a smarter way to pump.
Come on, Mama.
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hey, everybody. I hope you are having a wonderful week. My week has been pretty fantastic. Let's start off bragging on this show. What a jerk. Anyway, no, it's been a really great week. I got to meet and interview Olympic gold medalist, 3-time Olympic gold medalist and Olympic bronze medalist, Carrie Walsh Jennings at an event for the Honest Company. And she could not have been nicer, more gracious, and lovely. Just sharing her experiences with motherhood as a world-class athlete, something I will never do. Never be at that level. I tell you what, I am a world-class pizza eater and a world-class beer drinker, but maybe not so much with the athletics. Anyway, she was great. And if you want to go check that out, check out the interview I did with her. It's up on my website. I also, this week, I got to interview Brooke Burke Charvet. So lovely and also just a beautiful woman. She talked to me about when she was on Wild On. I don't know if you guys remember that. I think that's where she got her big break, was Wild on E. And she was a host and she traveled all over the world, basically in her bikini, and did all these great adventures and fun things, and then found out she was pregnant and had to sort of make some adjustments like you do. And it was really interesting hearing her talk about how motherhood changed her perspective on the business and on the industry a little bit. So that is also up on motherhoodinhollywood.com. Also, what else is happening in my world? I did a TV show. I filmed a TV show about a week ago for the FX network. I can't say yet what show it is, but I'm super excited to tell you because it's a very popular show right now. It's getting lots of critical acclaim for being a very funny, edgy show. If you guys want to guess at it, that's up to you, but I'm not saying anything until it comes out. So think about that. I'll tell you one thing. To finally book another TV show was incredibly validating. Because there are days when I get so wrapped up in the podcasting and in writing on my website, in going to events and all this stuff, talking about motherhood in Hollywood, that it feels very like, I feel fake. Like, I'm not, if I'm not actually working as an actor, then, you know, how can I talk about motherhood in Hollywood, you know? And I've said that to Chris on many occasions, and he's like, yeah, but just because you're not actively working every day on a show doesn't mean you're not still a mom in Hollywood and striving for your goals. And that's always a good reminder for me when I start to kind of feel the blues, because I want to be on a TV show regularly. I think I've said that a few times on here, and I would love to be a regular on a show and in some capacity, whether it's in front of the camera or, you know, craft services. No, just kidding. Maybe I'm hungry. I need to stop talking about food. I'm hungry. So anyway, it can be kind of frustrating. So to book something and actually get a job, it feels very validating. It feels very much like, yay, I am an actor. I'm a real boy. So it's been, in more ways than one, just a really lovely and incredible week. And I'm so grateful for everybody's support and the new listeners that keep finding the show. And more moms and dads are spreading the word about motherhood in Hollywood, telling their friends. I want this podcast to be for me, of course, obviously. But I also want it to be a good resource for my friends who are actors, my friends who are parents and actors. That's why I interview such a wide variety of people on the show, from casting directors to writers, producers, to moms and bloggers and that sort of thing. Because I want you guys to, I want you guys to feel inspired in some way by their story. And I hope that you are. I feel like maybe you are. I get the tweets. I see the Facebook comments, and I appreciate you. Really quickly, I wanted to say thank you and hello to a few new followers. At Global Munchkins over on Twitter, Mama Munchkin, Brian S. Carr. Thank you for following me over on Twitter. At Sophie Ryder and at Mama by Fire. Thank you guys so much for finding at MIH Podcast on Twitter. If you guys want to interact with me socially, my Instagram is a really fun place to be as well. Instagram is Motherhood in Hollywood, and of course on Facebook at Motherhood in Hollywood as well. I would love to hear from you guys. If you have any guest suggestions or just topic suggestions, hey, I'm open to that. Listen, it's easy. I'm easy breezy, man. Flexible, easy breezy, beautiful cover girl. What? Oh my God, did I just make myself a CoverGirl ambassador? I think I did. All right, I'm derailing. I want to bring it back around. My guest today is Erin Ziering. She has a website called At Home with the Zierings. If you visit her website or if you follow her at all on Instagram, you'll notice she has a very famous husband, Ian Ziering, from, of course, all of the Sharknado movies, which are hilarious and fantastic. And then people like me, old school, we remember him from Beverly Hills 90210, the original. So Erin has a wonderful story about how she met and fell in love with Ian, what she decided to do with her career after she got married, and how it changed when they became parents. And it's a very inspirational story and a very encouraging story for those who are kind of, maybe you're wavering on what to do with your career or what direction to take it in. I'd love for you to hear what Erin has to say about the decisions and choices she made. So here is my interview with my friend and mama of two, Erin Ziering. You are originally from Ohio, you said, yes, right? And what brought you out to LA?
I was a traveling nurse, so I was from a small town.
My mom was a nurse. Yeah. She didn't travel anywhere, but she was a nurse.
Yeah. It was from a very small town, and I wanted to see more of the country. We didn't have a lot of money, so becoming a travel nurse gave me the opportunity to travel for free, which we didn't have the opportunity to as children. We could drive some places, but it was expensive to stay in a hotel for farmers.
So did you work for a company that would send you out to, like, hospitals, or was it, like, hospice care or home care?
I did hospitals. Oh, okay. I worked for companies. I worked at the Cleveland Clinic, and then I worked as a cardiac nurse, and they sent me out to California. to work at, I worked at Kaiser for a while.
And you were like, I'm never leaving this place. It's beautiful.
No, I wanted to travel more. I decided that I wanted to try a few other beach cities.
Yeah.
And so I was going to Miami next. I met Ian in September. I'd been out here for about 6 months at the time. I met Ian and I was getting ready to leave. My contract was ending in the next 2 months. And he said, don't leave, don't leave, don't leave. We only knew each other for about 8 days. And he said, don't leave. I said, I'm leaving in December. I'm done.
Like, I'm not staying here for some guy.
Yeah, I wasn't staying for a guy. And I was like, you're really cute and you're really sweet. And we were in love. But you had these relationships where you felt like you were in love before. But I was a little different where it was serious. And I said, well, we'll talk. And I'm only gone for 3 more months. I can come back.
Yeah.
So he said, don't leave. And he proposed at the end of those 3 months.
So, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It was worth the stay because it was the real, thing.
I was going to say, so what was that like? Cause my instinct would be like, oh no, you need to go. You need to follow your career path and you know, all of that stuff. But did it just catch you off guard?
I was
the love, the feeling.
I was really in love and it wasn't like I was quitting my job. I just extended my contract for another 3 months. I was like, well, I'll give this guy another 3 months. I mean, I was in love and I was, I knew he said the same thing, but with relationships, you never know. Some guys take years. I have girlfriends who date guys for 4 or 5 years.
Oh my God. And they're listening to my show right now. Those of you who are still waiting.
So I said, he could be one of these guys. I knew he had some long-term girlfriends in the past and I wasn't going to sit.
Now, did you know who he was when you first met him? Were you a 90210 fan?
No, I've never seen the show. Still haven't.
Really?
So I'm waiting to binge watch in 5 years when my daughter turns 11.
So you can just do it together.
Just do it together so we can enjoy the show. My mother was a fan of the show. So when I got home, I told her, I met this really cute guy at the pool. His name's Ian. He's going to take me out on a date. She goes, there's only one Ian in Hollywood, Aaron. And he's an actor. You need to Google him.
So, yeah. Oh my gosh, how funny. So you didn't have any idea. So that must have been like, was it strange at first? Because other people obviously know who he is. Were you just like, why does everyone keep coming up to him? Like, what's the big deal? This is just, you know, someone I love. And, you know, was it strange or?
No, it wasn't strange. I think that 6 months in Hollywood really set me up for
kind of
seeing what goes on. And LA is a very, where people just don't come up. When we go other places, it happens more. Like when we go back to Ohio.
Yeah. So I don't hear you think they're over it.
Yeah, here the people are over it a little bit. And there's the paparazzi and stuff. But that was kind of fun in the beginning. And now it's just a part of our life. So we're not against it or mad at it or anything. Yeah. So,
So tell me then, what was your engagement like? Like what was your sort of your love story like leading up to your wedding and then kids and all of that?
He proposed right after Christmas. And it was the time where I should have been leaving to head off in January. He proposed right after we met my parents. He asked my father.
Wow.
We came back and I went to work that day. It was a 12-hour shift. Came home covered in who knows what from the hospital. It was a really bad day. I was really hungry and I walked through the door and he's dressed up. And at that point, I kind of understood the Hollywood world where I was thinking he's dressed up because we have an event that he didn't tell me about. And I was like, why are you dressed up? I'm really hungry. Aww. He had moon and stars all over the house. He created a full art project. It was really beautiful.
That's
and
so nice.
He said he saw our love written in the stars. He got down on one knee and proposed.
Such a romantic.
He was.
Oh my gosh, that's so sweet. I mean, how can you say no to that?
And I was
no pressure.
I was thrown off guard. I didn't really realize that a proposal was happening, and we were head over heels for each other. So I said yes immediately.
So you knew?
I knew. I knew, and I knew we had a lot to learn about each other. So a lot of people say you have a date for a long time because you learn.
Sure.
I feel like our marriage has been one big learning process where we're. Every day we learn something else.
Now, how long have you been married now?
6 years.
6 years, okay.
Yeah, so I feel like every day we kind of grow together and it's not a situation where we get mad at each other and we can say, I'm done, I can break up with you. In a marriage, you're there and you say, I'm going to learn and we're going to learn how to like...
You're committed.
Commit and we're going to do this together and we're going to... We put the work into it. So it's a lot.
And then you guys have kids on top of it. And then how long after were you married did kids come into the equation?
So we got pregnant right after the honeymoon.
Whoa!
Yeah, I think like right about the time I got back, I miscarried the first. And that was a really quick miscarriage. It was about 4 weeks along. I had just found out. And I miscarried within like a couple of days.
Oh, goodness.
It was a very short. Okay. Then I got pregnant right after that miscarriage too. So Mia came about within a few weeks
yeah.
after that miscarriage. I got pregnant.
And were
right
you
away.
Guys trying to have kids? Was it something you were wanting to do? Like, was yeah. family always
well,
the goal?
We weren't like trying to have kids.
Yeah, but you weren't like not trying.
Yeah, we figured it would take a while. Everybody we knew took 6 months to a year. Sure. And in LA, everybody has some fertility
that's
issues.
The rumor.
Yeah. So we were like, oh, it'll take us a while. So if it happens, we'd be really excited yeah. about it. And I always, as a nurse, taking care of people. Was what I loved to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that I wanted to be a mom. And so it wasn't something. And Ian was also in his 40s and he was ready. He was
yeah.
more than ready to be a father.
Yeah.
So
that's good. So it wasn't like you guys had to have a debate about it. Like you both yeah. were in the same place.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. That's also really rare. Like I have some friends who are still kind of trying to convince their boyfriends to get married, and then kids are not even in the equation at all, because there's a lot of actors out here who are very freelance, you know, fly by the seat of their pants, you know, and kids and marriage is such a big commitment.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, ooh, do I want to do that? And then never know if I'm going to work in 6 months or a year
yeah.
or kind of a thing.
Our life's like that a little bit with
Ian. I was
going
to say.
Yeah. So with Ian, that's what he didn't work for really the first year we had Mia. He was just, we were stay-at-home parents. Mm-hmm. There wasn't just one. I stayed home from nursing.
Because, on one hand, that's really nice and helpful.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I'm sure you were like, oh my gosh, get out.
Yeah, so that's about the time we got the script for Sharknado.
Okay, I was going to say, did Sharknado come in there eventually?
Yeah, I think I was about 16, Mia was about 16 months old. And I was mm-hmm. pregnant already again with our second child.
Yeah.
And he got a script and I said, you need to go to work. Like it was,
oh
we needed
God,
to be,
so
our
funny.
Insurance with acting.
Yeah.
The insurance is given by how many jobs you have.
Yeah.
And he needed a job.
Yeah.
So it was time.
It ended up being the right choice.
It was a great
Sharknado
choice.
Like was a such a surprise hit and it just keeps going.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. I think we were at the same party at Comic-Con and we had, I must have just missed you.
Yeah.
I feel like, because I saw Tara Reid, we came in like right behind her, mm-hmm. and I think you were with, you might have been with her. Okay, yeah.
yeah,
because they were going up the elevator, and I was like, oh, that's Tara Reid. So we
yeah.
must have just literally been walking around that party at the same time,
yeah.
not even knowing. I should have put two and two together, but I was drinking.
We were too. And we were in and out. We weren't there very long. I
yeah.
wasn't feeling great that night, so
yeah.
we did a quick appearance.
Comic-Con is such a rough, like... I mean, for especially if you've got something to promote, I'm sure you guys were just going from party to party
yeah.
to event, and all
mm-hmm.
that. I'm sure it's exhausting.
Usually we took the kids. So every year.
I was going to say, what did you do with the kids?
This year we finally got a babysitter out here that is just became part of our family.
Mm-hmm.
And so she stayed with the kids for the weekend. So it was
nice.
Actually our first time leaving the children was going to Comic-Con.
Oh, wow.
Which was really, really exciting for us. But
yeah.
then I didn't feel well the whole time in Comic-Con.
Oh.
So it wasn't as exciting as it should have been. And we left the kids, but the years before, I turned into a whole nother mother because I had my beliefs, and you can't do this, and you can't do that as a mom. I broke out the backpack leashes in Comic-Con. I went to a store and bought
well,
them. And there was hundreds of thousands of people
at Comic-Con,
walking the streets,
yeah.
and my daughters were like puppies seeing squirrels. Like there's Elsa on one side and Chewbacca across the street.
Yeah.
I have like a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and they wanted to split directions and run, and they're tiny little people thousands of people. All over them. I had to like
yeah.
find a way. Telling them to stand still just wasn't enough. So much ADD happening.
I think the backpack leashes get a bad rap. I personally don't have a problem with them. If it helps give a parent peace of mind that your kids, because some kids are darters.
Yeah.
You know, like, do you remember, I mean, it's sad to bring up, but that situation with the gorilla, the ape,
mm-hmm.
in it's a gorilla, I believe, in
yeah.
the Cincinnati Zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Some people were like, why don't you put that kid on a leash? But, you know, had the mom had the baby on a leash, people would have been like, how
yeah.
dare you put your child on a leash?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so hard because little kids like that, they do dart off.
Yeah.
Like Channing runs everywhere,
mm-hmm.
everywhere. I don't even know how she has
yeah.
the energy, but she'll run to the garage to get in the car,
yeah.
run into the store. And I'm like, stop it. I am so afraid you're going to get away from me.
Yeah.
So I totally agree with that. Like, no judgment here.
Yeah.
I say you gotta do what you gotta do.
The girls loved them. They actually cried at the end of the week when I said we don't need them anymore. I was like, we don't need them for day-to-day experiences.
Yeah.
We can go to the mall and they stand right beside me
yeah.
and it's not a packed environment where I feel like I could lose them, you know, in a second. It's a different, it's a type of setting that they're in that requires for,
you
know, they're not the type of kids that need them every day, but they wanted them every day. And I said, we can't do that. I'll get so much judgment. I can't just walk down Sunset Boulevard with my kids on backpack leashes.
No, no way. Because people with the paparazzi would take pictures of you. Like, look what Aaron's earring is doing. And, you know,
but they loved them and they cried. They felt safer with them. They liked feeling like I was right. I'm like, but I'm always right here and holding your hand. And they don't always like holding my hand.
Yeah.
I feel like it hurts their shoulder a little bit when I'm constantly holding on to them.
But, do you feel like because you and your husband are in the spotlight a little bit, do you feel extra judgment on your parenting decisions? Do you feel like more people are kind of watching you? And does that alter your decisions at all?
No, I think we have such an old school style of parenting that we are ultimately in this kind of in the safe zone when it comes to making decisions. Sure. That it's not anything like we did the backpack leash, but we did it because there was hundreds of thousands of people.
Right.
And pushing a stroller wasn't an option.
Right.
And we didn't want to lose our children, but we don't do it day to day. There's a lot of things that we make decisions on that we actually feel very confident in.
Now, where is he from originally?
New Jersey.
New Jersey.
And
oh,
I'm Ohio. And I think just the decisions we make, I feel like we feel so confident in why we did it, though we don't really worry too much about the judgment.
Yeah.
That we do it because it's the best for our family.
Right.
And we'll stick up for that decision,
usually
no matter what.
I hope you're enjoying this interview with Aaron Ziering and learning more about why she created her blog, At Home with the Zierings. We're going to get back to that in just a moment. But I want to take another opportunity to talk to you guys about Up4 Probiotics. If you've ever been looking for a way to improve your gut health, to help give your immune system some support, if you have any digestive issues, Up4 Probiotics has the formula for you. Up4 is manufactured at a state-of-the-art facility in Wisconsin, and they are shelf-stable formulas that have a trademarked super strain that only Up4 uses. So you definitely want to check out Up4 in your local Target store. They come in a variety of formulas from senior citizens all the way down to the little ones, infant and children formulas. Also, you can go to motherhoodinhollywood.com and click on the Up4 image to find out how you can make Up4 probiotics work for you. Also, if you're a breastfeeding mom or about to give birth to your first little one, I want to tell you guys about the new Lansinoh Smart Pump. It's the first pump to use Bluetooth technology. It pairs with the Lansinoh Baby app to simply track pumping and automatically record the date, time, and duration of each pumping session. And let me tell you, when you're a tired new mom, the last thing you want to do is start writing things like that down and information like that down that you have to keep track of. So this is a great tool for moms who are breastfeeding. To find out more about the new Lansinoh Smart Pump, go to motherhoodinhollywood.com and click on the Lansinoh image. Finally, there's a smarter way to pump. I think that that's good that you have confidence in your decision. I think so many people, when they get in the spotlight and you start hearing noises from every different direction, whether it's online, your managers, your friends, you know, coworkers, whatever, you start hearing all of these judgments from people, and it would be really easy to start questioning and second guessing. Am I doing the right thing? Am I making, I mean, I do that and I am nowhere near famous.
We all do as mothers.
Right.
You do question everything you do. And when I question something, I usually call my mom. So I'm on the phone like 10 times a day with my mom. Like, is this the right thing to do? She's always my words of wisdom. She's the one I'm more worried about judging me than anybody else in the world, because I feel like her opinion matters the most.
Would she call you and go, Aaron, why are you doing this? Or Aaron, this is not a good idea.
I'm usually calling her first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she never has to.
Oh, I love that. Are you an only child?
No, I have two brothers.
Oh, wow. So you're her only girl.
I'm her only girl.
Oh,
now.
Okay.
And we're really close. We went through the teenage years and then became best friends right after.
I'm sort of dreading the teenage years, because right now Channing thinks like I'm the bee's knees. Like she just wants me to put her to bed. We have shopping days together. Like we're best buddies. And everyone keeps telling me, oh, you just wait till she's a teenager.
Oh, I hear that all the time.
And I'm really hoping to be the exception to the rule. You know, like I was sort of rebellious as a teenager with my mom, but not like in a bad way.
Yeah.
More just like,
hormonal.
I'm going to my room. Yeah. You know, it's not like I was doing drugs or anything crazy. That came later. No.
But college like, years.
Yeah, the college years. But no, I'm just sort of dreading that. And you have two girls,
yeah.
right? So we may both be in the same boat, mm-hmm. hoping that we don't have sassy teen girls.
We will. I think it's just a part. It's a part like of the junior. I think we have to look at it a little yeah. differently than maybe our mothers looked at it. Because mm-hmm. we now know a lot more. We read so many stories. We read so many blogs. We have conversations totally. More as mothers than our mother's generation did.
Yeah.
And I think that if we look at teenage years as, oh, she's hormonal today. Oh, she's getting ready to start her period. We look at things yeah. based on those facts and have more conversations with our kids that, I mean, I'm speaking from a mother of a five-year-old, so yeah. you might be listening laughing yeah. if you have a teenager. But I think if you kind of look at it like you look at your friend, like, oh, she's on her period right now. It's just, it's not the time right. to ask her to come sit down and have or force right. her to come sit down and have a meal
right.
Or asking them to talk over something like a cup of hot chocolate versus forcing them to come sit down at the table mm-hmm. for no reason when you know they're hormonal, because I get hormonal.
Yeah.
And
me too.
Ian knows when that happens and he likes to keep track of when it's about to happen. So, you know, and I think if maybe we do that with our teenage daughters, that it'll lessen.
We could be more sensitive yeah. then to conversations with them and timing.
Yes.
I know as a grown adult person that timing with me is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband has, it's taken him years. We've been married 15 years.
Yeah.
So it's taken him time to figure out, okay, she does not, she's upset, but she does not want to be hugged
yes.
right now. And it's so funny because he's such a hugger and a lover. He's such a cuddler. Yeah. And he's like, I just want to come and give you a hug. And I'm like, mm. I don't want it. I need you to just give me a little bit of space yep. so I can work some shit out and then we can hug later. And he's like, okay, but he's figured it out now. Now he knows.
I am definitely the cuddler in our relationship. Oh, where he really? Always, and I'm more of the, I've been overtouched today. Yeah, I've been just, holding a yes. child all day. Someone's been clinging mm-hmm. to me.
Yep.
I breastfed each of the kids for 2 years. So I feel like the past six, since we got married, then I got pregnant. Our marriage has been like, stay away. When I tell you to come over.
Get off me.
Get off me.
It is hard because when they're hanging on you all day and like crawling all over you and want to hold your hand and want to, I mean, it's a lot. And you do, as a woman and a person, just need a little bit of space.
Yeah.
And it's hard, I think, for dads and husbands to understand that sometimes.
Yeah. But it's finding the balance. It's,
yeah.
It's a learning one. Lesson yeah. and struggle.
Now, you mentioned a second ago that you go read blogs to find out information, mm-hmm. but you also have just recently launched your own website and blog yes. at Home with the Zerings.
Yeah.
Tell me, why did you guys decide to do that and what kinds of things are on the site?
So I decided to do At Home with the Zerings when I decided I wasn't really going to go back into the nursing field. I'd mm-hmm. been a nurse for 10 years. And loved it.
Yeah.
And I realized that it wasn't something that I was passionate about working in the hospital anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do something that kept me at home as a mother and really kept me in the mom space. I loved my new life as a mother. And I wanted to stay there and share that with the world. And we became such a passionate unit about family and sharing that we wanted to share it with everybody.
Yeah, so I love seeing your pictures. Your Instagram is fantastic. Like, I love, like, you guys look like you have so much fun together.
Me too.
I watched the video the other day of Ian at the park. And I guess he was like up on the railings yeah. and your daughter was coming underneath and she like totally like bonked her head. And I was like, that's totally a dad fail, but it's hilarious. You know what I yeah. mean? Like, that's such a typical family thing to yeah. do.
And we're big kids. Like, me and Ian, yeah. we do things so because we want to. I'm going taking Penna to Disney tomorrow because I want to see the Elsa show. And we didn't get to see it last time we were there. Because Ian's like, well, she just went. I'm like, but I want to see the show and I need to take a kid with me.
Yeah, so. It's a good show. We yeah. saw it like in May, just like a week or so after it opened. Okay. And I think we're actually going to go next week.
I haven't seen it.
She doesn't know yet, so I haven't told her. But I think we're going to go next week because it's time. It's fall. It's time to go to Disney. I like to avoid Disneyland during the summer.
Yeah.
It's just too hot. It's too crowded.
Mm-hmm.
But when fall comes, I'm like, yeah. we can go more.
Yes.
For sure.
For sure.
And so you – I also saw that you're going to be doing Disney blogging and stuff too, the Disney social media stuff.
I got invited to the Disney social media moms Ooh. Event and I have a – Disney is such a big part of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And Disney princesses
oh,
is everything to my daughters. And it kind of was everything to me, but I had brothers and I didn't have every princess dress that I wanted mm-hmm. because it didn't really fit in our playroom very right. well. It wasn't something everyone could play with. So my mom was really good about making sure we all had things everyone can play with. And I also had my dolls in my room. But when my daughter said they liked princesses. I went out and got every princess dress because it's more, because again, I'm a big kid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the point of me and Ian as parents, is that we do a lot of things that are a lot of fun that we like to share. And we do them because we like to do them, not because we want to do something to share or make it look fun or cool for other people. We do it because that's just us.
And you're not like putting up a front, like, this is my life. But in reality, it's totally something different.
Yeah. Like that is our life, mm-hmm. is taking our kids to the park and having picnics, and because we love the family life. Both of us do.
And so your blog, do you put stuff on there like about, things that happen in your day-to-day life? Is it about where you guys are going? Like, what kinds of things?
I don't put stuff up about our everyday life. Usually, mm-hmm. if you follow my Instagram, you'll see more into our everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And on the blog, we have our favorite recipes. I have a mothering section where I talk about different things that I've learned through mothering, whether it be nighttime potty training or me. We had the biggest sleep struggles with Mia. And sometimes you look at a family through Instagram and you say, oh, they look so perfect. I'm sure their kids just go right to bed at 7 o'clock and sleep perfectly in their rooms. And I like to share some of that stuff on the blog of reasons why we are exactly the same as everybody else.
Was she not going to sleep at night? Like, waking up? Or?
Oh, the poor child. She's never slept through a night.
Oh, no.
But you know what? It's been learning lesson where you think you have to do something because you read somebody's blog that says, this is the way we did it and this is how it, and this is the way it works, and you let them cry it out, or you let them, you tell them, just go to sleep in your room, and you keep sending them back. Mm-hmm. And there were so many things I learned about my child by just listening to her,
mm-hmm.
and finding out what she needed versus listening to other people.
Yeah.
And what I should do.
Yeah.
So our life completely changed when I started listening to what made her feel better. So I share a little bit of that on the blog.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And Ian shares his
emotional
father. His journey becoming a father,
mm-hmm.
and he's very passionate about the stuff he writes about. So he doesn't write as much because he has to be inspired, and it has to come from the heart, and it's a big story for him. And
Is he a writer at heart?
Because
I know he's been known for his acting and things, but does he also write too, or is this kind of new territory for him?
He doesn't write scripts or anything like that, but he likes writing about life.
Yeah.
And he writes letters to our daughters all the time. He has special email addresses for them, and he sends them emails since they were born about special things that happen. And I would love him to share some of those. They're so beautiful.
Yeah. That's so sweet. Yeah. I love that. And what are you hoping to see, pardon me, for the future of the blog? Like, do you want to just continue to see it grow and you're going to fill it with more things, or do you have anything you're expanding on?
Right now, we just started it in June. So right now, mm-hmm. we're just hoping to see it grow,
mm-hmm.
hoping to see people inspired by it, and really just share our journey in parenthood, and so let everybody know that just because we're out here in Hollywood, that we are the same.
You are. We are. And that's one thing I love about the show that I do here, is that all of the moms that I get to interview, and dads, there's been some dads on the show, is that everybody is very real. Like, there's the image that we put up, like you mentioned on Instagram. Wow, everything must look really great and perfect and lovely. But the reality is that we're all connected by the fact that it isn't perfect, and we do still struggle. Like, there was a story a few years back with Charlize Theron where her kid had a meltdown at the park or something, just threw an epic tantrum. Yeah. And the paparazzi was there taking pictures of her, like, wrestling with him, like picking him up off the ground, but it looked like she was getting, because of the angles and all that stuff. I'm sure if anybody's ever had a toddler meltdown, there's no good angle ever.
Yeah.
Like, when you're trying to pick them up, forget it.
Yeah.
And my heart just went out to her so much, because everyone was like, she's abusing him. Like, she doesn't know how to control him. And I'm like, that's not fair.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that would be like to have somebody watching me if I was trying to calm Channing down during a tantrum. It's ugly.
I had that happen yesterday park, where it wasn't paparazzi, though. It was just people, because Penna fell in mulch and got mulch in her eyes. We had actually like an emergency situation where she had mulch in her eyes. And she started rubbing her eyes. So the little twigs were in her eyes, and she's rubbing them in deeper, screaming.
Oh, no.
And then I had a mom fail where I didn't pack a bag for the park. So there was no water to wash her eyes out with.
Oh, no.
So I run her. She's like hanging out of my arms, upside down to the water fountain, trying to stick her head under the water fountain to get the water. I couldn't get that. people are standing around like in this little girl screaming and I'm trying to stick her head under a water fountain. And then they follow me because I go running to like a restaurant to try to get water. Finally, I find EMTs having lunch. Like, thank you, West Hollywood EMTs, because they stopped their lunch. They went to the ambulance to get saline syringes to help wash her eyes out. But it didn't work. We had to take her to the doctors.
And, oh, really?
Did it scratch her? But everyone was like watching me because I'm holding this child down screaming. And then I'm trying to hold her down with my arm.
Yeah.
To try to get her eyes washed out because she's panicking. So I have her arms strapped down to her side, like with my legs and trying to.
Because you've got to get in there. And to the
I look so
average observer, to somebody who's not a parent, you would think, oh my gosh, she's abusing that child, or what are you doing? But as a parent, you know, they'll fight and they'll resist and they'll keep rubbing. Mm-hmm. You know, their eyes are scratching or picking at whatever they're not supposed to do. Yeah. And you've got to get them to stop doing it. And, that's so hard. Is she okay?
Yeah, she's okay now. Okay, good. Yeah, she got a little pirate eye patch for her one eye that got scratched. No. It was so cute though.
She like think she's a pirate now? Because that's
she
does. Cute.
She was pink pirate. She had to get ice cream after. Like, it was a big deal.
Oh my goodness. So. But as a mom, that's gotta be just like, so frustrating.
Yeah, I think if I had those pictures on Instagram yesterday, or just a nice Snapchat of what's going on, I would look like a total crazy person.
I know, be like, here's my pirate daughter. You would get a lot of, oh my god, what happened? Like, everybody would be more concerned.
I actually did put her eye exam on Insta video. Yeah, I don't know the exact name for it.
I know currently. A lot of people are into that now, but I still really like Snapchat.
Yeah,
I know. I mean.
Well, the filters.
I feel like the filters really so do it. Fun. Once Instagram starts getting those filters, then I think Snapchat, you know, they'll give Snapchat a run for its money. Yeah. But, there's so many options for social media. And I know you know this because you've got your website. And, when you're trying to, like, promote and get out there and all that stuff, there's so many avenues that it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
That's why Vina is one of our good friends and Rachel as well. Those two ladies know so much about social media and everything, and I love talking to Vina. I'm like, what do you do, you know, with this, or what do you like to do this? And I'll text her all the time, and she's like, girl, here's what I do. Like,
yeah.
She is on it.
The sharing network of mothers in LA is really amazing. I don't know if I would have had that if I would have been a mother in Ohio. How supportive women are out here, which is shocking to me, because as a single girl, you didn't have that support system.
No.
And then as a mother, suddenly it's like this new tribe of women that you meet, and it's really magical to find this really core group of friends.
Well, I think it's cool because everybody wants to, if you do well, then that means we're friends, and that means sort of by association, I do well. If Vina is doing well, then that means I do well. You know, so it's sort of like moms get that it's a collective where if we lift each other up and support each other, we're all lifted up.
Yeah.
The acting community is also sort of like that, but it's a little more competitive in that, you know, if somebody gets a part that I audition for, then I have to take them out at the knees and be like, ugh, I have to kill you. No. or like vice versa. You know, what you have to watch, I have to watch my back. No, it's not that bad. But there is also a collective sort of support. And I think, you know, that's kind of, that's definitely evident in the mom community out here. It's something I was surprised about because my daughter's three. Before I had her, and honestly, even for the first like year and a half, 2 years, I didn't even know there was I never read mommy blogs, really. I never, I would go to main, like, parenting.com, you know, the big websites to read about tips and stuff like that. But I didn't go to, like, individual blogs, really. I didn't know any mommy bloggers. But now, since I started this show, I feel like I've really gotten to know some amazing women and, like, learn more about this community of women out here. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Everyone's very well connected and supportive. So what would you describe, like, if somebody is asking you, like, how would you describe your parenting style? Like, would you say that you guys are more laid back? Would you say that you're more strict, or?
We're very strict. I think.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I think we're very strict when it comes to, there's rules, there's boundaries in our house, and there's a lot of communication. So we first go with communication,
right?
And the children have a lot of roles. Ian is definitely the rule setter, and I'm kind of the enforcer. So we have a great parenting dynamic where we both have our kind of our assigned roles.
Right.
We're like, there's like good cop, bad cop. And we switch in the right situation. And that's how we parent. I mean, our kids are very sweet and loving. and they know what they are and are allowed to do in our house, especially when other kids come over. They make sure their friends know what the rules are.
The rules are, yeah. I think that that's something, too, that gets lost a lot. Like, there's so many parents that don't want to upset their kids or hurt their feelings, so they're a little afraid to, like, lay down the rules, mm-hmm. you know, and, like, say, this is what we do, what we don't do. So I like that. I'm a pretty strict mom too, which I know some people don't really understand because I'm so goofy and silly, like you were saying, and really fun.
Yeah,
I think I'm fun in real life, like myself. But with her, I'm fairly strict.
Yeah.
She knows what she can and cannot do, and she'll push and try to get away with stuff. But I found for me, staying consistent with my rules and consistent with not, I don't say the punishment, but consequences have made a world of difference.
Yeah, that's definitely in our house with our daughters. I think I like seeing her take it out into her daily life too, mm-hmm. where our roles in our house is everyone has to play together. There doesn't have to be sharing. I'm not a big share.
Yeah, I mean,
when you're done, you're done, and the next one can play with it.
Right.
And those are the roles in my house. And that's because otherwise I'd be yelling share 24/7 to the girls. But with Mia, I see her go out into the world and she takes a lot of these roles that I have in the house and puts them into her daily life and with her friends. And she's really good at mediating situations and fights because she listens to what I do. And when something happens that's similar out on the playground, she stops it and reacts. We just had a situation, though, with her having her first experience with kind of girl drama.
Oh,
and
was it like a bully type situation or
kind of kind of just they don't really know that they're bullies yet or that they're being bullies, but there was just not including her and she was like heartbroken about it. And it's one of the big rules in our house, has always been one of our big rules, is like you include everybody, anybody who's around, you find a way to include them. So she was on the playground and it didn't work for the first time that she tried to like say like everyone needs to be included, and they're like, no, you can go sit down until we tell you can be included. Heart was broken.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So it was like our first big parenting change too, where we had to, things don't always work outside the house and the roles and reinforcing. So I wrote a little blog piece about it on the blog where you can read. It's called Being a Sophia, because Sophia the First is always the best at including everybody and following the roles and being with her family. So we use her as a lot of examples in our home. And Mia really understood that.
That's good.
Hopefully they remember to not be mean girls, especially in LA. So I feel like setting roles and boundaries out here is really important because out here, things are so different than it is in the Midwest.
It totally is.
And they see things differently. Just people talk differently about the world and situations, that I hope that she always remembers to be the nice girl.
Yeah.
And if she doesn't, I'm going to send her back to the farm in Ohio for a few summers.
Right, exactly. Like,
or she can see we'll
nip that in the bud.
Yeah. Really
I worry about that too, because there is a different, there is a, the kids out here seem to mature faster. Mm-hmm. They seem to be more advanced in some areas and not, I don't want to say not nice because that's not a fair assessment, but there is sort of a privileged kind of, you know, hierarchy and status symbol and all that, that they put a priority on. And I worry about that because I'm like, it doesn't matter how many designer clothes you have and what kind of car you drive. Yeah. What matters is if you're being kind to people. Mm-hmm. But I don't, but I want her to be kind, but with strength.
Yeah.
Like I don't want her to be kind and get walked over all over, you know?
Yeah.
So
we have, we say be kind and have courage, like from Cinderella when her mother died.
Yeah.
And
I love
she told her Cinderella to be kind and have courage.
That I love that.
Yeah, that's ours. So we go with that when we
I'm stealing it.
When we go to new environments, she gets like really nervous to go into camp. I always tell her, remember to be kind and have courage. So
yeah.
It kind of works for all situations.
That's a great mantra.
Yeah.
I like it.
Thank you, Cinderella.
Thank you, Cinderella, for so many things.
So many things. I found my Prince Charming, got some great shoes. It's great.
I love it. Well, tell everybody quickly then where they can find your blog and all of your Insta. And are you on Twitter too?
I am.
I think you are, because I feel like I've tweeted
at
you.
I do a lot of retweeting mostly.
Yeah.
But mostly on Instagram at Erin Ziering. Mm-hmm. And then our blog is at homewiththezierings.com.
Thank you guys for listening. Erin, thank you again for coming on the show. And remember, I'm not a perfect mom, but I can play one on TV. Bye, guys. Balls.